And it's good to see each and every one of you this evening and that you can make it tonight to be able to hear my brother preach. And I know that he's been on a long journey and he's suffering some repercussions from the travels in which he encountered. But nevertheless, he is here and he is willing to serve. And I give thanks for that. I thank the Lord that the ministry can go out and do the work of the gospel and endure some of the difficulties that go along with it. But we all know that he looks out for each and every one of us. But at this time, I know that he's looking out for our brother Stephen, and he's got a presentation to give, and I'm sure I'm going to be delighted to be able to sit and listen to that. So I would ask that you would say a little prayer for him so he can make it through without any troubles. And with that, I'll go ahead and turn the podium over to you, Stephen.
Thank you, brother. I was worried that you only got 25 minutes this morning. That introduction might be another 20 minutes or something. So, all right, I better watch myself. Apparently, I've been long-winded the last few times, so this will be no exception. But this is going to be fun, I think. I think you'll, not that the other stuff isn't fun, but I literally, my brother Aaron challenged me today and said that I've got to stick to this four scripture thing. I have three scriptures tonight. That's it. Three scriptures, and there are one verse each that could change. I am thankful to be here. Good evening, brothers and sisters. I should start with this. I should say, buenas noches, hermanos y hermanas. Brother Placido was worried that if I preached about Mexico, he better watch and make sure he fixes everything that I say wrong. I was blessed to go on this trip. For those of you who don't know, I left, 27th of July, came back August 3rd, with my brother Ken. Got to travel with my brother Ken to attend a youth camp there and some other services that we attended. It was an actual treat. You know, any time I get to see brothers and sisters that I don't get to see all the time, it's a treat. And I don't mean that as a knock to anybody here, but it's something else. It's something else to behold, to spend time with them, even though I didn't understand 70% of what they said, depending on who you're talking to. But it was a joy. It was a treat. And I'm grateful to have done it. And basically, I'm going to share the trip with you, what we did, some of the things that we talked about. And this is going to be very basic for some of you that have been there a number of times. This will be a refresher. Some of you will have to raise your hand and correct me for what I said wrong. But I'm going to do my best. There is one picture in here that I understand, but I'm going to have somebody explain it better, and you'll see what I'm saying. So we'll start here. This is the Church of Christ in Mexico. My brother Placido, I really haven't got to spend a lot of time with him, but he has a wonderful sense of humor, right in line what I like to go with. And he refers to the Yucatan Peninsula as Zion, so that's why I have that AK Zion down there. I tell you what, after being there for a week, I'm pretty sure that I'm close to Zion because I sweated out about every impurity I could have had. It was very humid down there. I grew up in Oklahoma, and I'm used to I mean, it's been 20 years since I've been there, but it was very, very humid. That was the only complaint down there. So I'm going to start with these three pictures right here. Now, the church, the yellow church there is the church in Yobain. And you'll see pretty much the same thing on all of these churches that it says at the top. You can't see it there, but it says Iglesia de Cristo Restaurado 6 de Abril de 1830. And that's obviously restored April 6, 1830. That was pretty good, wasn't it? You guys thought I would just say 1830, but I know that one. Okay, and the church in the middle is in T.C. Mean, right? And then the one on the far right there is in Zaan. And there's a plaque there that we're going to talk about at Zaan. That's a hint for Brother Jay or Brother Don or Brother Ken, because I'm going to ask you what exactly that means. The scripture I wanted to say start with, 1 Peter 1:22. I'm already there. I'm going to give you some time for those of you that are following along to get there. This is a scripture where Peter's talking to a group of believers. He says at the beginning that they're scattered throughout these various locations, that he's talking to a group of believers, and it's really the latter part of the scripture that I'm going to read. I'm going to read the whole thing, but it's the latter part. Seeing that you have purified your souls and obeying the truth of the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. And I define these words, unfeigned, not false or pretended. and then fervently, felt very strongly, having or showing very strong feelings. I think if we looked in Romans, we'd see a similar expression, love without dissimulation. You know, it's a love that we all desire to have. And one of the things that I like about seeing brothers and sisters that I don't know is I don't really know anything about them. And so you walk in and you feel that love and you see that love. There's no backstories. And I don't, you know, we're humans. We have our tendency as man to come in and you have a preconceived notion. When I see Gary, you know, unintentionally there are thoughts that come into my head. Hopefully all good. And they're all good, Gary. They really are. But if we have something, if we've forgotten to forgive or forgotten to, you know, sometimes we don't forget and we come in and, or we had trouble with somebody and we come in for the next service and our hearts are distracted by things. You know, we've got to have this love without dissimulation, this unfeigned, and we've got to have it fervently in our hearts. And the love for one another has to be exceeding. And when you get to go to these places, when you go to reunions, when you go to locations where you get to see brothers and sisters, that love is well seen because there's nothing to hold you back from that. There's nothing in your heart to trigger anything negative for you. And that's the joy that I feel being among my brothers and sisters. So maps. I like maps. I like to know where I'm at and where I've seen. As you can see, the blue dot is us. The red dot would be Merida, the airport that we flew into. And typically you'll fly into Yucatan to get to these locations. And then you'll hear, here's a map of that little peninsula. For those of you that like maps also, you can see down below is Belize, and there's Guatemala and Honduras real close to those locations. And there's Merida that you flew into. A lot of you will know the name Cancun, and it's about 4 or 5 hours drive from there if you drive yourself. And that's what it looks like. And you can see how close really they are to several other countries, just a hop, skip, and a jump to those other countries, by our terms anyways. Here's an up-close map. You can still see Cancun there on the far right side of your screen. And Merida's where we fly in. You can see that I've got highlighted is YOK. We'll talk a little bit. We went to YOK. We went to TC Mean. Is that TC Mean? Is that the one that we went to that's there between Merida and Cancun? Is that right? Is that correct? Okay. I wasn't sure if I had the spelling right, but that's it. You can see that on the map. I'm going to point that out. TC Mean is one of the churches that we visited while I was there. And then here's a closer look. If you look down below, here is Zaan. And the youth camp that we had in Zaan was very, very close to that. I don't know where we were, but I mean, it was when we left the camp, we were at the church. It was less than a mile, right? I'm not going to be doing that in meters, by the way, but less than a mile. And then you'll hear one of the brothers, let me see if it's in here, Mayapan. Here's Mayapan. One of the brothers is from Mayapan. There's a couple that will mention that are from Cancun area. I think that's all I wanted to bring out there. And here, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but this is the whole of the ministry in Mexico. I think they are all there, not one missing. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 of them there. And I've got their names, and hopefully I pronounce them right. If we start at the bottom going left to right, that's Brother Guadalupe. Brother Guadalupe where is he? He's in Cancun? Boy, I didn't even write his down. But I got it right. That's a good sign. Brother Guadalupe is in Cancun. Brother Esaul, which has become a very close friend of mine while I was there. We spoke a lot in Spanish because you'll find most of these brothers and sisters speak very, very little English. And sometimes you can force some of them into it, but they do. They speak very little English. And unfortunately, I knew more Spanish, I think, sometimes they knew English, or fortunately, however you want to look at it. But we had some great talks. Brother Esaul is in Zaan also. And then the next one there is Brother Damayel, and he's in YOK. And then you got, let me just step out here. I don't like this. So Damayel, let me cut here. This is Damayel right here in YOK. Of course, you know Brother Placido. He's been here several times. And then going left to right, here's Brother Rolando. He's in Chunahou. Did I say that right? Chunahou. And then that's Brother Santiago and Yobayin. This is Brother, I mess his name up all the time, Secondino, who is in Mayapan. So I pointed out Mayapan. Here's Brother Felipe. This is Carlos's father. For those of you that remember Carlos, now we'll have a picture of Carlos. I've been praying for Carlos so long. My prayers have always been Carlitos. And so I've been praying for him, and I realize now he's no longer Carlitos, he's Carlos. He's grown up. All right, and then you have Brother Tomas, who is, where's Brother Tomas? Is in Cope, and Brother Melkor, which is right there in Zaan, and then Brother William also in Zaan. And they're not, obviously, I think there's three churches in Zaan or two churches in Zaan. Two churches in Zaan. And so you can see where they are. Just a wonderful time. Once a month, our brothers will get together. I don't know if it's always in YOK. It might be. Okay, so they meet in different locations. They'll get together once a month. They'll go through all of their trips. It's impressive. They even have to kind of state what they did. And I was feeling kind of bad if I had to show what I did every month, but they did it. And they dealt with the monies. They dealt with everything they needed to as ministry. But they do get together every month. It was impressive to see some of the brothers traveling to 11, 12 places during the week. They're very, very busy doing the work there. It's impressive the amount of places they go to, the missions that they go to, and the locals that they go to. Once every 4 weeks, hopefully more, they're starting to go to Chiapas and possibly even Guatemala at some point, but that they are going to Chiapas. I think last week they were going to Chiapas, which is right down by the Guatemalan border. And there's some, are they members yet, Ken? They're not members down there, but they're visiting with those brothers and possibly someday going into Guatemala. You know, I think I'm going to take this point right now because I know that I'm going to go too long here, but it's funny how I'm going to fit in the financial makeover, but I'm going to fit it in right here. One of the things that I was impressed with on this trip is we get so focused on life and things, and there is a great need that we need to be missionary-minded. We need to have our hearts thought of what the purpose of the church is, to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, these men, you look at these men and wonderful people, and they have a lot of work to do, and there's a lot of work to be done out there. And I still think there's a lot of work to be done here in the U.S., but in particular down there, there's a lot of people to see. And there's a need for money. And as things get tighter, you know, we're going to have a lot more faith and trust in the Lord. Whatever's going on in life, you know, we've got to remember there's a need to pay our tithes. You know, I'm doing this money makeover class. We've done this a couple times. And I'm going to make a request that you all be there. I don't care what your financial status is. I don't care if you're too old to make any money. I don't care what your excuse is. There's a reason to be here. We need support in this class. We need you to understand what's going on with the young people, you know, some things that you can possibly do. You'd be surprised. Even as you get older, some of the things that might help you financially with some of the things that you're going through or be able to give more. But there is such a need to remember the focus of this church. The focus of the church is although it's important to feed the poor and to be with the sick, but we have got to spread the gospel. It's part of our job. And we have to spread these things. And that's our goal. That's our needs. And let's not forget. Let's not lose sight of what we need to be doing. We can have problems in our lives. We can have difficulties physically and even spiritually. But, you know, we need to strengthen ourselves, strengthen our hearts, and remember what our object is. And I was really impressed when I went down there. And we do this, I know, when we get away from the world for a long time. And I was able to think about this. But, you know, we need to make that effort to remember the purpose. I may talk more about that. So in the youth camp, this is scripture number 2 for those of you keeping track. We're going to go to 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And this was the theme of the camp. And if any of you saw Sarah today, they gave us the largest shirt we could have. And if I had 4 of them, I might be able to wear them. But they were small. I guess it's quite an expense to get anything bigger, but the theme of the camp was 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and that says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so it was interesting. Placida used the expression clean your soul. It's not an expression that we would use it, or we would use it that way in English. We might say clean your heart in such a way, but it was. The whole thing was about the danger that you put your soul in, the difficulties, the troubles that your soul is, how to clean it, how to get yourself pure again before the Lord, that you can prepare yourself for that great judgment day. And so these kids got a number of classes. I know Placido taught a couple classes. I taught a class. Brother Ken taught a class to these youths. What a wonderful set of kids. You'll notice, you young people won't like to hear this, but everyone there wore long pants for the camp. All the women, as you can see in that picture on the far left there, were in skirts of some type. And that's what they wore the whole time, except when they went swimming. And they were still pretty modestly attired. But that's what they wore there. And it was hot. And it was hot. Middle picture there, you can see a screen. There's kind of the hut that we were in. And there's the picture there on the far right are all of the kids at the camp. I think what did we end up with? 43. And here's the part of another picture of the facilities that we stayed in. There was, I think, 8 rooms in that building. For those of you wondering, none of them were air-conditioned. So even at night, it could be humid. Fortunately, at that time, every night that we were there, there was a storm of some kind that would come in. So rain, cool winds would come in, and it would cool you off. It was wonderful. It was really nice. I enjoyed that. Some more pictures. This was from the part picture on the left from the top balcony. You can see there on the top right is again looking from the top balcony. You can see that's actually Carlos there in the background being pushed by Felipe, his dad. And of course, Brother Ken there. You can see the pool in the background. It cracks me up. I've been to Mexico a couple times, and the ability of Coca-Cola to pretty much get on every single thing down there is amazing. You can see the tent there is Coca-Cola, the chairs are Coca-Cola, and we drank several Coca-Colas while we were there. They've did a good job of marketing. They're in the front in the blue shirt there with the sunglasses down the front. That is our brother Ephraim, which was the camp director, and that's also Placido's brother. If you haven't seen him before, very nice fella. What charisma, what a perfect person to lead that camp. He was so full of energy, and the kids absolutely loved him. I was very impressed with him. Let me see. So I've got a series of videos here. Hopefully these will come through. Some of them do have volume. Brother Tim's going to take care of that. But they're very short videos. I thought I'd go through several of these. This was kind of an early nighttime activity to kids to get to know, kind of the icebreaker event. You can see on the far right, you can see the gringo there on the right, that tall kid, that's actually a Sedlak. I'm sure some of you know him. That is Benjamin Sedlak. Very nice young man. Here is a song. This was I didn't intend for you to see anything here, only to hear things. But this is a sister that's, they tend to, when they're giving their testimony, some of them, and I saw this several times, they'll give a testimony and then they'll sing a song. And several people would probably want to give testimonies if I had to sing a song after that, but you'll also hear when she's singing that song, you'll hear anytime somebody sang a song, that there were several young people that knew the song and would sing along kind of quietly but in the background. She had a beautiful voice. And this was, I'm not sure when this was. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to pause that. It's done right there, but let's see if I can. I'm going to move on. We'll get back to those. So here's another song where they're sitting around singing. You'll be glad to know our brother Ken was not singing in this. He was just listening, so we're safe. And so some of the things I looked at for this youth camp, now this is the counselors sitting around. The last song, again, was the counselors and the camp director. They were singing, and I, of course, was looking at this of what I've experienced at youth camps and looking around and looking at some of the things they had done. If you see the pictures there on the right side of the screen, they had some pictures from years past. I saw Brother Jay in a suit of armor. Some other people were in, so I think Ronnie was in the suit of armor. I was very worried when I saw that it's 120 degrees and 120% humidity, that I would be in a suit of armor, and they would have had to put me in the pool to do that. But I didn't have to get in the suit of armor. I didn't see the suit of armor come out. So, but really neat. One of the things that I just cracked me up, it drives Ken crazy, and to me to some extent, but you can see the speaker in the background. They would start every day. That thing, you'd be sitting there, is cranked up. I mean, cranked up. There is no doubt you will not be sleeping anywhere in that camp. It is playing music and wonderful music. And then after you've heard all the songs repeated 20 times, it's amazing. They'll say their prayers with the music on. They'll eat their meals with the music on. I mean, the music is just constantly on. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but, you know, what we're used to is different. And it's one of the things I didn't really point out. But I'm certain I ruined a few marriages while I was there. Apparently, you're not supposed to wave at any of the women or children unless you know them. So I'm convinced that I ruined a few marriages down there. It's not like that in Honduras, right? Okay. But if you wave to someone in Mexico, the women, and I don't care, and this one lady, what started is one lady and kids were staring at us like they had never seen the white man before. And so I just waved, and Placido's... I'm not sure I'm going to be invited back, but I don't know. I did my best. But, I mean, it's just, especially someone growing up in Oklahoma, I mean, everybody got waved at. It was just the thing to do. It's like asking how you doing. You don't always care how you're doing. You're just saying it because it's there. But it was interesting. It was some of the things, you know, I you get scared after a while of what, you know, you just put your hands down and your head down, and someone says hello, you say hello. You know, I always thought I was really good at, most certainly when I'm in a church service or I see a brother somewhere, you know, I always try to refer to them as brother or sister. I try to teach my kids yes, sir, and no, sir, and yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. I think it's important to have a great deal of respect. But for some reason, it was because I'm not familiar with hermano and hermana. You know, it was hard for me. I would say Esaul instead of brother Esaul or Placido, and a Placido would be used to it. But, you know, even that, they want that respect of hermano. Or Marina. And even you wouldn't even call him Señor. It was hermano or hermana. There was no in between. And so, anyways, they do understand but I'm sure it takes them aback for a second when they're, what was that? All right.
Esta tarde quiero dar una breve explicación y experiencia propia de todos los compañeros con los que.
Nothing really to see there. All the groups had names that they would go by, so they would call out the group. Here was a nice service. I'll show you a video here. One of the things that Brother Ken and Brother Placido, well, Brother Placido actually, I think, explained this to me, is the men down there, it was a bad habit, is the men down there did not treat their women with proper respect. The men would basically were there to produce children, work, and drink. And so there was a need to teach these young men to respect their women. It's their job to be of service to them and follow the commandments that are given. So one of the dinners that we had was poolside, and the men had to, or the young boys had to serve all the young women their dinners. And so they would go pick up the dinner and serve it to them. It was a very nice service, very nice gesture. Let's see, I think this is another video, Tim.
Who's going to serve us?
The elderly?
There's your daughter.
No one. You can see them serving the dinner there. Now, this was fun one for me. This one, I was really excited. I should have gotten more pictures. We were going to, one night, they have a special service Saturday night. This camp started Thursday. It started Thursday afternoon. Friday and Saturday and then into Sunday afternoon. And so Saturday night they have a special service. They load up in the cars and head to Zaan, which is, I don't know, a couple minutes drive. Not very far. And so they loaded up in the back of this truck. This cracked me up. I wanted to go so bad, but I was preaching that night and I was in my Sunday best, if you will. And they load up. It's hard to see there, but it's basically a truck with rails. They all load up back in there standing up. They pack the whole lot of them in there, all the boys in there. They come back and pick up the girls. I'll show you a picture of the girls leaving the church and load them up. So they're all standing up in the back of the truck and off they go. I do not like the seatbelt rule we have here in the United States, if I haven't said that long enough. I think we should all load up in the back of the truck and drive about. So here we are at Zaan. This is a picture in Zaan, and here, of course, is the plaque. This is missionary O'Clarence Wheaton. It's a plaque. I'm assuming this is reference to him coming down there at some point. Did that meeting take place in Zaan? Okay. What is this plaque specifically for? I forgot. I meant to ask Canon Plotson. I totally forgot. It says, this is in Zaan. This is Brother William's church, and it says Missionary O'Clarence Leroy Wheaton, and then on the right it says Hermano Sabino Cabrera Avila, Fortunato Cabrera Avila, Susana Cabrera Avila. Okay, for everyone out there, Brother Jay says that those were the ones that had the first dream or vision where they saw that they were to meet the white man, and they went from Zaan over to Tekul to meet with Brother Clarence Wheaton, and this plaque is actually in Zaan at the church there at Zaan. So that's there, and you can see this is from the front door looking out at some of the young men running around taking pictures, and then on the right, you know, I hear so many of our brothers talk about the speaker systems and stuff. I mean, they get some high-tech stuff in there with the speakers, and they are loud. Wow. But they do. They're very good. They like their music. Beautiful, beautiful surfaces. This is the church in Zaan. I did preach here in Zaan. And this is the pulpit they had. Because it was a special service, I was actually preaching out front. Maybe it was because I had ruined somebody's marriage there. I don't know. But I was preaching out in front there, and you can see the church here. There's Brother William in the front on the bottom right-hand corner, and just from the front looking back on that top right picture. Here's a musical special that they did. So there was a song that they started with. I was pretty interesting to see this, but they handed out a piece of paper. I don't have a picture of it. They handed out a piece of paper, and all the kids had it, and they played, and it was just a quick little, if you kids remember Demos Gracias, it was very similar to that. It was very short, very quick, very easy, and they would sing it, and then they would sing it again, and they sang it through the whole cap until they all had it memorized. I didn't have it memorized, but I did try to sing it with them. Those kids are good. I'm terrible at memorizing, so. This is looking back there on the far left is our sister Matilda, which is Placido's mother. What a hoot this lady, this sister is. She's a wonderful lady. I enjoyed her. She speaks a nice mix of Mayan and Spanish most of the time, and so even when I try to understand her, it gets difficult. They did teach me 3 or 4 Mayan words, so I'm pretty well versed there. But our sister, what a wonderful lady. She was always smiling. Always happy, always laughing. She was a real treat, which reminds me seeing her. She did ask for our prayers. we're just going to have to pray for her because I don't know what she told me to pray for. But I did hear oraciones, por favor. So she did ask for prayers for her and for her family. I can tell you all of our brothers and sisters offered thanks, and their prayers were for all of you. As we've heard so many times with our brothers when they come, they always remember you in their prayers and they're thinking of you. Of course, Brother Donaldo and Brother Alvin were always brought up several times as they've been down there. So many times they were thankful and said hello to many people. I should take notes. Here's the girls leaving in the truck. You know, and again, the girls, the boys and girls, all in their Sunday go to meeting clothes, and they're loading up in the back of this truck, and the girls all in their Sunday dresses, and off they go, loaded up, close the railing, and off they go. There's our brother Esaul. Now, this is kind of cool. They all have, several of them have this app called the WhatsApp, and it's, I don't know, it's kind of like Skype or something, but now I've been able to talk to my brother Esaul a couple times via just basically a texting service called WhatsApp. I don't know if anybody, you young people know that, WhatsApp? Okay, head shaking. I'm the old guy now. But that's his granddaughter. I know it comes as a shock, me taking pictures of the babies, but you can imagine she loved me, so... I got a kick out of this. You know, I don't know how to say this without offending, and I don't mean to offend, but, you know, there's not a Home Depot at every corner. I can't say that the people are, there are poor people down there, don't get me wrong, but they live with what they're used to, and you know, there's not a Home Depot at every corner, and so you see stuff like this. This would not pass any inspection, this ladder. It is tied together with pretty much anything they can find to get up and down. And this was some kind of pumping system that they used for the water, I think is what it was. Which, by the way, at the camp, they gladly shut the water off sometime around 3 o'clock in the evening, which means the toilets did not work. And so that was a real pleasure for us sometimes to get up in the middle of the night. But anyways, that ladder cracked me up. It was held together. I could not have gone down that ladder. I bet I could have gone down to that ladder. It was very sturdy, but it made me laugh to see that. So just some more pictures, nothing to see here. You see the balloons on the right. That was the closing ceremonies there on Sunday. As you can imagine, if you've been to any of the camps where they go through their last presentations and songs and thanking everybody that was there, and I mean everybody. Another picture just from my perspective, I thought that was kind of cool. I mean, it's not uncommon, but... when you're going to build something, they dump a bunch of bricks and a bunch of sand there by your house and a bunch of rocks, and you take it and you go build something. I really didn't see any houses that weren't, if they were built out of wood, it was usually some type of lean-to, but they were all concrete block. They put together with concrete and very sturdy, hurricane-proof type house. They were wonderful. But, you know, that's a typical scene you'll see right there driving down the middle of town anywhere. Those two are actually twins, if I understand correctly. The mother was not there, but the father passed away. I see some head shaking, that is correct, but they're actually twins down there. Sweet little things. That was the other thing I didn't point out about camp. It was neat to see, but, you know, at the camp, people came. They just came and they showed up and their kids were there. They weren't participating other than sitting in the back, and they, you know, they prayed, they listened, they watched. It was really neat. The kids were, you know, just sat there and listened to the services and sang the songs and listened. They sat in the background and it reminds me of some other things that were happening. I've always been trained that I'm the last person in line. I have not made the category yet where I get to go in the front of the line, whatever that is. But down there, you know, we were always, the kids would go first, and then the teachers would go down in the line, but they always had it this way. And then it was always the little kids and the elderly that were there just to listen. They always went at the end. And if there was food left, they got to eat. There was always food left, as you can tell. Despite sweating everything else, I did not miss a meal there. And there will be pictures for that, too, by the way. So just some critters I got to see there. I didn't bother to show you any nice weed pictures or bug pictures or disease pictures, but they were there. You can see, I don't know how well you can see that on the far left, is a beautiful little iguana hanging out on top of the fence. Can you see that? It's a beautiful little creature. He was about this big. Tried to catch him a couple times, but he's a quick feller. And there was a typical moth. That moth was about yay big. And I think they call those a mom moth or something like that is what they're called. Could be wrong. And then a tarantula, which is not uncommon to see here. And that was a big guy. He was about yay big. Gets bigger the more I tell that story. The close-up picture of him is pretty impressive. There on the left is Brother Ken washing his clothes. I'll call that old school style. We did that by hand. You fill up the bucket of water. You pour it in the sink. You wash your clothes. Put some detergent in there. And then you get another one and you wash your clothes out and you go hang them up to dry. Easy peasy. It's a piece of cake. I enjoyed it. I really did. It was a lot of fun, but I caught Brother Ken out there washing his clothes. We had to. There you can see on the top right is a picture of a store. It's actually Matilde's store, Sister Matilde's store that she has there, and she sells, imagine Coca-Cola being there and chips and all kinds of stuff. Wonderful little place. Very convenient for Stephen and Ken to go and get something to drink at all times, but a neat little store, and they close that up at night, of course. And a little, you can see that area on the top, and on the right there, there's Sister Matilde standing in the doorway, and that is Sister, on the right there, is the sister that lived in the back house, Miriam, that is sitting there, and I think that's her son. Yeah, that's her son, and her daughter would have been sitting on the other side. I don't have a picture of her, but that's Miriam, which is, again, is a sister to Placido. Boy, I'm glad you guys are here. I don't have to make this stuff up, and I give you the right information. You can see the on the left picture there is a house, red and white. That is Placido's house. And then on the left, you see the orange there. It's the picture again on the top right. That's kind of the main entrance to the house, which we never used. I don't think I ever saw it used. And then on the bottom right is the front, right next to that door, Matilde's, Sister Matilde's little tienda there, a little store where she sold all kinds of stuff. And so they had this whole little area here. I don't know if it was a hectare or a couple hectares. And you'll see this, apparently you'll see this a lot. There was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5-ish houses sitting on this property all together. This main house, I don't think anybody really lives, nobody really lives in the main house anymore. Matilde has a little separate house that she sleeps in. Is that in the next picture? Matilde has a separate house she sleeps in. Sister Raquel, who you'll see in a second, which is the oldest sister of Matilde's, Placido's sister, she has a little house to the right, and I think I put a picture at the end. And so there's several houses, and they all live really close together. It's kind of a neat thing. Here on the left side is Brother Ken and I sitting for a meal. I should have taken pictures of all of the food I ate, and I would either forget, or I would, I would just forget. I didn't think about it until 2 or 3 meals in, but enjoyed. I didn't eat anything I didn't like, and I'm serious on that. I enjoyed everything. I even enjoyed some of Ken's food, too. I'm glad he's a light eater. Interesting, another custom they have, I don't know what it is, but when Ken and I were there doing whatever we did, we sat there by ourselves. And you'll see this at the end at our Brother Felipe's house. It was just Ken and I. They might be sitting around the corner washing dishes, talking, and eating, sitting on the ground or around the table or something, but it was just Ken and I. You know, you could invite them in, and they probably would refuse a few times. We might, maybe if we twisted their arms, they might come in and talk to you or something. But it was always just Ken and I. And they might even prepare the meal just for us, and they might eat a couple hours later. But it was interesting how they would do that, just kind of leave you in there and abandon you. And that's the way it was. No big deal. Couldn't do my dishes. I know Brother Ken told me to try. Marlene tried to get it, do it. I tried to do my own dishes. Even Placido told me I would offend them greatly if I tried to do the dishes, which is perfectly fine with me. I was okay with that, but I do like to do dishes. There's the church again in Yobain, right there in the Coyoke compound. And there's a little parking spot. This is actually the pink or red right there behind it is the parking spot. It's right behind the church, and there's a little stage area right there. Thought for sure there'd be some kind of entertainment show there. Now, this is the trip we took to TC Mean, and as I showed you, this is kind of the looks about halfway between Merida and Cancun. So this was a couple hours drive from where we were. This was the church in TC Mean. You can see on the top right there. sitting in church. It's a small little church, little pews. They come in and they go very quickly, and how they do things is just it's a process to see. You can see they got Brother Ken blessed a little baby there, cute little thing. Of course, it loved me, that's for sure. This little girl down right here in the front, I got a picture of her. Is that next? Right there in the front left, Jennifer is her name. And I can't even begin to tell you what the other three's name, but they pastored me for a good half an hour. Enjoyed every minute of it, but wonderful little kids. Now, I was okay to talk to those kids because they knew me, so I was safe there. But wonderful little kids. That little Jennifer was just a cutie pie. So now we get to the food portion. I thought I'd show you some of the things that we ate. I won't go into too much detail. For those of you that love food, you might. Like I said, I enjoyed everything. They had a little chili sauce. You can see that at the bottom right. You see that? That's kind of a pickled-looking red onion there. Do you see my pointer there? Oh, good. That makes it easier. That was kind of a pickled. They call it a habanero. There's no way that was habanero because it was not hot. And it was the same stuff that everybody else used because it wasn't hot. It was about, I would call it the peppery flavor or the spice of a jalapeno, but they called it a habanero. I saw it. It looked like a habanero. It's actually, most time it was green. I don't know if they get hotter as they get orange or something. Do they get hotter as they get orange? Okay. So they must have been using green because it could get hot if you ate a lot of it, but it was, didn't bother me. There's a tamale. One night, it must have been one of the last nights. It was 11 o'clock at night, and they're coming around bringing tamales. And I was ready for bed an hour and a half ago. And, I'm never one to turn down a good tamale, so I ate it. And then I went into their room, and we had cake, too. So that was a lot of fun. And our brother Ken, I learned his little trick. If you ever get to travel with Brother Ken, he forgets names probably worse than I do. And so he'll force you to learn their names by saying all their names so that he can remember them. So keep an eye on him. So this one on the bottom right is called a panucho. All right, and I've learned there's various forms of panuchos. You'll see panuchos a little bit later down here, but that was basically a panucho. It's basically a corn tortilla, crunchy corn tortilla with maybe some chicken and some onions and tomatoes and that peppery stuff splashed on there. And there's a bean. They use frijoles, which is a black bean. They stuff it in there. They won't know what you're talking about if you say pinto, but it was a frijole. It's a black bean. Seriously, they don't have pinto beans down there, okay? It's frijole. And then here's another couple meals that we had. The one on the left there was at the Coy Oaks place eating there, and the one on the right, this is when we had dinner in... Where were we at? Where's Felipe live at? Why, OK? And then on the bottom right was a meal. Those were called huevos matuleños. And that bottom right there is basically a crunchy flour shell. And they put 1, 2, 3 eggs on top of it with some tomatoes. Why they put green peas in it, I don't know, but it was still good. I ate all those up, and they have a little bread sauce. And, of course, you have to have a Coca-Cola with it. So everything goes down well with Coca-Cola in Mexico there. Wonderful stuff. And then you see on the top right, I think I got more pictures of that. But those last things were called huevos montelos. Huevos are eggs. Motuleños is like being a Phoenician or a Michigander or something. Same type of, those were in Motul that we had those. And then here's a little cooking going on here. This is... Josue, as they called him, Joshua Sedlak, a wonderful young man, has changed a lot since the last time I've seen him. Wonderful to see him grown up and acting like a man, does a wonderful job from what I could tell, taking care of our sister, Esteffi. Our sister Esteffi there, she was a sweetheart. She speaks more English than she'll let you know. But she did a wonderful job, and she helped me from time to time when we could. She translated some testimonies. And I think I forgot a picture here. We'll get back to that. Remind me of a testimony, please. So this is our sister Raquel. She is the oldest of Matilde's kids. And she's out there. This was awesome. I got to get one of these. Basically, it's just rocks. They set the pan on the rocks. They light the fire. And it's basically a cast iron or a seasoned type pan that they're cooking. These are happen to be potatoes they're cooking in Greece. And I asked her why she was cooking out there, and she told me that, and I was doing this in Spanish. You'd be impressed with my Spanish. I asked her what she was doing. She said it gets hotter out there, and it's easier to cook them out there, so that's why she's cooking them. She's sitting on a piece of limestone. Everything out there is limestone. Limestone rocks everywhere. And then here's the kitchen and the oven on the bottom right. You can see she's cooking a pepper. It looks like a poblano pepper. I have no idea what that was. She was showing me. I was very excited. They made this soup that was frijoles, black beans, and they serve it pretty much with everything. Most of the time that I had it, it was the texture of maybe milk, maybe a little lighter, maybe skim milk. It was very liquidy. Brother Ken said that occasionally you'll get it; it'll be a lot thicker. But they call it pimientos. What's that bean again? Frijoles de colindre, something like that. Basically, they cook the frijoles and they put them through the colander. And when they take that colander and then they put that back in the pan, as you see on the bottom right, and they cut that, they saute some onions in there. I've only got about another half hour, so if you're getting hungry, I'm sorry. But they cook the onions in there. They heat the onions up, and then they throw the pepper in. They throw the pepper in whole. Then they put that colander, the stuff that had gone through the colander right there, they put it back in there and they cook it for a little while longer. And she was showing me the whole thing because she knew as I was excited about it. And so she wanted to show me. And this is a video. I don't know that there's any sound here.
Oh, see?
All right, and there, of course, is Josue and Steffi and Brother Ken. This house, well, on the top right, you see this is kind of the double-story house, but it's typical from the block standpoint of all the houses are. This one happens to be a two-story one. The house on the bottom right is a house that was, this property is, it's a hectare of land. It's a good amount of land that was owned by Raquel. Nope. Huh? Dulce, I'm sorry. Which is a Steffi's mother, right? And she owned that land, and you can see where the colors change place right there. That part, I guess the top of it was wood when the hurricane came through several years ago, destroyed it all, sat there for years, and now Joshua and Steffi are building that back up, and they're eventually going to live in that once it's done. I'm not sure what the plan is. I did ask, but I guess they're several months away from doing it. He was having a good time. They had ordered windows to fit in there, and the guy told him a month, so 3 or 4 months later he's starting to get worried if they're going to be done yet or not, but when in Mexico, that's how it goes sometimes. All right, we're getting there. So this is, we had dinner. We went to, don't tell me. Why, okay. This was our brother Felipe's house. Now Felipe and Otilia are Carlos's parents, and we're eating at their house, and they had those little taco things I mentioned a while ago, panuchos. Again, I hate to agree with Ken, but probably my favorite meal we had there, or the panuchos are just wonderful things, and they put, if anybody's had, they call them dirty tacos here, you know how they take the onions and they chop them up and the cilantro and it's all in a little pile and you stack them on, same type of deal. The juices they had there were wonderful. I'm trying to think. I think this was a melon juice. You can see here again, nobody ate with us except for the ministry that were there and the guests, the two ladies there, that is Sister Amy. Now, that's not who I was trying to think of. I remembered her. Sister Amy is Placido's wife, and that is their daughter, and her name is Sister Shayla, and that's Placido's daughter. And they ate with us at the table because they were guests. Everybody else ate in the kitchen. And then there's one of the fancy rides right there. You got a little back of a motorcycle, front of a motorcycle, and you got you a taxi, a rickshaw, motorized rickshaw. And there's our brother Carlos. Everything that, if you've not met our brother Carlos in the wheelchair there, it's Brother William talking to him on the left. Everything you've heard of Brother Carlos is 100% true. You know, when I hear our brothers tell stories and stuff, I'm one that likes to place myself there, and I've never been there, so none of it makes sense to me. But when you meet Brother Carlos, if you've never met him, 100% accurate. They might underwhelm you. He's constantly smiling. I know he's going through all kinds of things, constantly happy. I don't know that he ever complained. I got to Brother Felipe is not shy either, neither one of them, and we sat up for a couple hours talking to Carlos and Felipe one afternoon and just had a wonderful time. I spent an hour and a half or so probably talking to Carlos, Brother Carlos, on the porch one time, and it's just an absolute joy. We learned Mayan, we learned Hawaiian. I even got to throw in the Hawaiian state fish because I was tired of hearing their Mayan words I couldn't pronounce. And so we went with the Hawaiian state fish, which everybody knows is Humumunukunukuapua. Okay? They were amazed by that name, so I one-upped them. Bottom right here is the kitchen, the Panuchos. That's where our sisters were cooking. That in the green shirt is our sister Atilio. I don't remember our sister's name sitting down, but I believe that's Atilio's sister. Anybody want to confirm that? I think she's blind in one eye. Her eyes closed on the right eye. Is that her sister? It's a friend or a neighbor. All right. But she helped with the cooking. I'm quite certain, again, I offend our brothers there because I just couldn't sit there. I helped load the table up with the food, and I helped unload the table with the food, and even made Ken do it. So we unloaded the food there and helped our sisters, and food was spectacular the whole week, and that meal just topped off the week. Top right, of course, Brother Placido. That is our sister Felipe's daughter, Lady. Boy, that should be easy to remember, even though it's not L-A-D-Y. I believe it's L-A-D-I-E or L-A-I-D-E. It's not Lady as we say it, but that's her soon-to-be husband, I think, right there engaged. And I believe Brother Ken might be doing the ceremony for that, so far, from what we can understand. She has a wonderful testimony that she is supposed to send me. Maybe I'll share that with you sometime. I didn't really get to hear it either, but she's supposed to send it to us in an email. Have we gotten that yet? All right. All right, this is my last picture. One more scripture, third scripture, number one, but I want to go back, see if I can find our sister here. It's not important that you see her. Oh, that's a good one. So wonderful testimony at the camp. The camp was very much spirit-filled. I enjoyed myself so much. It's kind of interesting sitting there when you don't understand. You know, if you've ever learned another language and then you go to listen to it, and if you've ever experienced that, your ears are what gets better. By the beginning of the week and the end of the week, my ears of hearing, I didn't always understand it, but I knew what the word they were saying. And if they would slow down and say one sentence at a time, I could probably understand 90% of what they say. But it doesn't, just like I'm talking now, it's brrrr, and I couldn't always. But wonderful spirit-filled testimony. The kids were given testimony. It was wonderful. I enjoyed myself tremendously. You know, and I will say, you know, our brothers and sisters are the same as we. You know, there's no, I didn't know, you don't expect anything different. They have the same trials, the same tribulations, the same temptations. They're not any different than us. You can see it there with the kids. There were difficulties, you know, no different than us. They were truly our brothers and sisters, and they run the same life that we do. Our sister, now I wanted to point out their sister back here, beautiful voice, guitar. She is from Cancun, and her name is Lily. And she had shared a testimony that the kids she was in, she was one of the counselors, and she was in the cabin. Didn't think I'd get through this, did you? She was in the... distract myself. She was in the cabin praying with the kids that were in there with the girls, and she saw the Spirit of the Lord touch each one of the kids. That she was praying with, and it finally rested on her, and they were surrounded by the Spirit. It's the way she described, the way it was explained to me, and that she had never felt that feeling before. So, you know, truly, even without that testimony, we knew that the Spirit of the Lord was there. It was wonderful. It really was. All right, one more scripture after this. So this was Brother Placido took us. This was, I don't know, 5-6 minutes from the Coyote compound. We go to the ocean. This was our Brother Placido again joking about Zion being there. They're going to have to turn down the weather. But nice little ocean view, as you can imagine, the beautiful ocean. These we joked about these being the ruins on the far right there, but they weren't ruins. They were just old houses, nothing to do. But beautiful little area right there we got to go wandering around. I'm going to close with this scripture. This is Isaiah 41:10. I was searching for a scripture to end with. I figured it fit as good as anything. This was something that was hand-stitched. I'm sure that there's a fancy name for that. What was that? Embroidery. Look at that. I'm learning an English word tonight, too. And this was embroidered on the church, on the pulpit in the Tzimin. And this was this is what they had there. This is Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Again, it was an absolute joy and pleasure to be with our brothers and sisters. If you ever get the opportunity to travel to any of these locations, I would highly recommend it. It's a real treat. Reunions that you haven't been to before. I've got to go to a lot of them in my life. It's well worth it. It's well worth it to meet your brothers and sisters. I think one of the things that, I brag about, I guess, if you will, when I talk to other people about the church is we have such a relationship, not just in our local church groups, but we know people in Missouri and Michigan and Idaho and Mexico and Africa and it is certainly the Lord's church in a special place. Thank you for your time.